soul and life is spiritual. But you're not just a spiritual entity existing on your own. You're part of a supreme spiritual entity. Now you have to find out the relationship between you, the spiritual part, and the supreme spiritual whole. That is Krishna consciousness. And there's nothing that you can do better in your life than that. How old are you now?
19.
19. So basically, at the age of 19, you've done all the things you're going to do the rest of your life. You can just do it in different places. Right? That's all there is to it. You got it. You got it. That's all there is to it. Yeah.
Don't you like, you know, you
could
get something you can
What are those valuable aspirations?
Well, you just see those things, obviously.
Huh? Huh? Like that?
Yes, like, you know, my Ed Motorbank, yeah, he's like 15, has land and to interact with the people in the land I'm on. And I certainly don't mind being a big woman to go in it.
How do you know what you're going to take birth again?
Exactly.
It could be a worm in the land.
I don't mind
participating in the cosmos and all that.
No.
As a worm.
Yes.
You say that now, but you don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know what type of worm,
that's right. It means to know you don't have any knowledge. Your consciousness is so dim.
Yeah.
Can you imagine right now, with your full consciousness as a human being, something happens to you in which your capacity, your mental capacities are severely reduced by 99.9%. It would be painful for you.
Would it be painful for you?
Of course.
To not be human, would it be painful?
To not have full consciousness.
That's it.
Yes, it would hurt.
Why would it hurt?
Because it's a great loss.
What loss? What's the difference between a rock, a tree, and a human?
Okay, let's get back to our question. Are you the body, the mind, or something else?
Well, explain the question for sure. What's the difference between a rock, a tree, a human, and the universe?
If you take this basic question I'm asking you, you'll find it will lead you to the answer of all those questions. First, you have to understand the micro before you can understand the macro. So I'm teaching you the micro, and you can expand to the macro. You as a micro reality are a combination of matter and spirit. The material covering is your illusory identity. You are the spirit soul. But what you call life is this combination of matter and spirit. Without the spirit soul in the body is useless. The same with the cosmos, the universe. The universe is a combination of matter and spirit. Now, most people can only relate to the material aspect of the reality. And this way they live very distorted lives. What is the difference between various life forms? Life form means that the spirit soul is there causing the life symptoms. And when the spirit soul departs, there's no more life symptoms. The difference between a human being, a tree, an ant, or a worm is a difference in levels of consciousness. So, to lose your human form of life is the greatest disaster because you lose the full consciousness.
What exactly is the pinpoint of the consciousness connected to spirit?
Consciousness is the energy of the soul. The fact that scientists cannot define what consciousness is should make you very suspicious. Not only can scientists not define what consciousness is, but also, there is not one single scientific instrument that can directly detect the presence of dinosaurs. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about a lizard and a scorpion. I mean, you have a 10-foot consciousness. What motivates people to be confronted by a few situations in their life?
Mm-hmm.
And they were surprised. And no way that I've provoked at all, and told that I should debase myself, that my shining example should be shattered.
Can you give a specific example, please? Because I'm having
one particular flatmate.
Yes.
Simply. Try to evict me for an off-hand rent, and I have to book it with an off-hand rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's been completely absurd. Christian, he really wants to remove him in white dress from us. It seems to be completely insane.
Yeah. And so?
And so, I can choose to either ignore him because he's supposed to be an actor. And
yes, these are common problems that everyone faces in this world. Because people do not know what the goal of life is, they try to exploit each other.
Yes.
At one moment, I'm exploiting you, generally speaking. At another moment, you're exploiting me. So you have to look and see things you can deal with. How are you exploiting others? You don't like to be exploited, so then you have to look at your own life and see areas in which you could be exploiting others. Then you can live a life of virtue and integrity. You can't control him, maybe, but you can deal with you. Now, where do you get the skills and tools to deal with you? There'll always be imperfection on the material plane, but you need to find out about the perfect spiritual plane of reality. That is Krishna consciousness. Yeah?
There's something in my life that I've been struggling with for quite some time now. And I think it's keeping me back in my spiritual development. So it's about suffering. I can never find any justification for seeing innocent, the people, but like animals, suffering immensely. In a way, I can sort of understand, a growing human being suffering as a result of some sinful act that he has committed in the past. But, I mean, if you think about that, starving African, for instance, where they're born into poverty and they die a horrible and gruesome death that you can't even begin to understand, it makes me worry that there's nothing in life that's actually worth living for, when there's no justification for something like that.
First of all, one minor point, let me tell you. From the material point of view, all death is gruesome, whether it looks like it to you or not. So whether you die a starving African death or you die a modest, sedate New Zealand death, it's all gruesome. But from the outside, it looks like, this is a nice dying circumstance. These are not such a nice dying circumstance. Often you read in the newspapers, so-and-so died peacefully in their sleep. How does anyone know it's peaceful, what's going on? It just looks like that from the outside. All death is gruesome if you are attached to the body. It's like, if I think, I am this claw, and then you try to yank it from me, it's going to be a real traumatic experience for me. I'm this! This is me! You know, yanking. But if I think, hey, this is just my cloth, it's covering me, it's temporary, and you know, someone just, you know, yeah, it's like that. So that is what death is like for someone who is Krishna conscious, who's spiritually enlightened. It's just a change of outer garment. But if you think this is me, and you know, someone yanks it, you know, it's a traumatic experience for you. It's horrible. Hey, what are you doing to me?
Yeah, I agree with that. And, I mean, let's face it, Krishna consciousness is actually something that comes with maturity. And
maturity? No. You mean?
Maturity of your mind?
No. 99, according to that definition, the 99.9% of the world is immature.
I agree with that.
Krishna consciousness comes with knowledge. Knowledge and practice. Then you get experience, not religious belief. So, dealing with your whole question, which is a very good question. Why do horrible things happen in this universe? This universe is completely just. Everyone is getting their just reactions to their actions. This is a point many people in New York, they are thinking, after September 11th, how could such a thing happen? There was one famous book written by an American rabbi in the 70s, which after September 11th, it became popular again. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do they assume that they're good people?
I'm getting a good question.
Maybe if we want to expand our thinking, although it's a little dangerous for our preconceptions, we would ask, why do good things happen to bad people? All the pain in our life is a reaction to past activities, and all the pleasure in our life, the fear of pleasure, is a reaction to past activities. So according to what you've done in your past life, you get hit with various things, nice or not nice, in this life. For example, due to one kind of activity in your past life, you could become in this life the Princess of Wales and get such fame, and you're on the picture of every magazine. But because of another type of activity in your past life, you can't have any marital happiness, and eventually you die in a car crash at a young age. Or just like our friend George Harrison. He had a spiritual side to which he kept speaking, but if you just look at the material side of his life, fame at a young age, starting at how old? 19 or something? Yeah. Millions of dollars. But then you die in your 50s because of cancer. And what would you rather have, his wealth or his sickness and death? Which would you take?
You can also just use policy, I think.
Well, how do you define policy?
Spirituality.
Yes, then you have to find what is the truth. To find the truth, you must take your knowledge from the source of everything. Otherwise, it gets very confusing, like this young lady was saying. Oh, there's so much of this and so much of that, and how do you know? She's 19, you know, she's already done all the material things she could do in her life. No, age is just something to do with the body, just like how old is the cloth you're wearing, the shirt you're wearing. But it is true, it's more difficult as the years go by in your life to change, because you become fossilized. it's easier when you're young. But still, there's no age restriction. But there's no doubt it's easier when you're young. But the problem when you're young is that your senses are boiling. The adults boil too, but you know, when you're young, it's like a new thing, you know, the senses are boiling. You know what it's like when you turn 12, right? Right? Yeah, it's like, wow, what is this? Is this what the adults are into? Oh, wow. So, in spite of that, young persons have an easier time to make a change. Like I was 21 or 22 when I decided I'm not using this life to go down the same road as everyone else. I figured I've got everything, I'll gamble, and I've got everything to win and nothing to lose. If you say I might lose by choosing the Krishna conscious path, well then I figured I would lose in material life anyway. Material life means complete loss. So I might as well gamble on the spiritual alternative. If I win, I win big. And if I lose, well, I was going to lose anyway in material life, you see? That's the way I thought. Yeah. In Krishna consciousness, you don't lose. But, you know, beforehand, before stepping into the pool, you might think like that. So, I'm still stealing her point. Now, yes, it's a fact. In 19, you've done everything you can do in this life already. You do it in different places. Go traveling, do the same thing. And after some years, you die. If you lose your human form of life, that is the greatest disaster, because this human form of life gives you the developed consciousness so that you can hear a discussion like this. The worms are here listening. The plants are here, but they can't understand. Their consciousness isn't developed enough, although they're living entities. But as a human being, you can understand these things and make a change. Plants can't do that. Now, with a human body, you're saying, well, so what if I'm a worm? But you're saying that with human consciousness. Okay, what is your first specific question?
First specific question. The humans and ultimately the spiritual, and we are within this universe, then the sum of the universe contains spirit. Doesn't everything in the universe contain spirit?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The human body is a covering that allows the full consciousness of the spirit soul to be manifest, whereas the plant body does not, although the same quality of spirit soul is there in the plant or the human body. But the plant body doesn't allow them. It's like a lamp and a lampshade. Different lampshades allow different degrees of light to come through. The human body allows the full expression of light to come through, so to speak, from the soul. The
sort
plant
like,
body doesn't.
Sort of like you're saying the human body is a conduit. It's a, almost like an antenna or a transmitter of some sort.
All right, you can say that. That's okay. That's a nice way to put it. Therefore, if you misuse the human body for the same thing that the animals and plants get, that is the great loss. That is the greatest disaster. And that's what we're dealing with in society today. Now, it is true that the same quality of spirit soul is driving your material body as is driving the universe. The same quality, but not the same quantity. There's a quantitative difference between you and the Supreme, between you and Krishna. You are the tiny part. You have the same quality of Krishna, but you're not the same quantity.
Some deep with a rock, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And deep has some of the spiritual qualities that make that be different. So what is a rock? Rock has the consciousness. How do we know?
Wherever you find life symptoms, you will find consciousness.
The earth appears to see the life symptoms.
That's right. So just like there is a personality, spiritual personality in your material body, similarly the Vedic knowledge teaches you. There's a spiritual personality which has the earth as its body.
Isn't it wise to run with the clouds into the earth's personality and the clouds are so good? That's the cool same thing as this, but crazy.
Better to get knowledge than to imagine. Just like this young lady here, she needs knowledge. Well, what is she going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? She's already done it all. I don't know where you got that from, but, you know, for example, in India, if someone wants to play sitar expertly, in India they'll just tell you, okay, it'll take you about 7 births. In other words, your purpose in life is not to master every different material skill. Your purpose in life is to become Krishna conscious. That means use what skills you have perfectly. Or you can just take George Harrison, for example. He used his musical abilities to inspire many people to take up Krishna consciousness. Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he used his warrior abilities in Krishna consciousness. So the goal of your life is not to try to do every material skill. The goal of your life is what you have, use it perfectly. What do you mean by that? You may be able to play every instrument, but what are you playing? That's the important thing. What are you playing? Learn how to chant Hare Krishna. the ambidextrous pastimes that the ladies aren't making you happy. No matter what instrument you play. Good, you guys have a sense of humor.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I would like to know who is called a spiritual man. I'll give you two examples.
You'd like to know who's called a spiritual man?
Sure. Who is called a spiritual man, mm-hmm. and who is very near to Lord Krishna,
mm-hmm.
or to the Almighty.
You have read Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, almost.
Oh.
I'll give you two examples. One man is very spiritual man. He's can say he's a priest, bishop for in a temple, or a saint, or a mosque. And another person is ordinary man, who struggles his life from education, work, income, till his death. And he leads a normal life. This person is always in a spiritual man. This man, I would like to elaborate more about this ordinary man, that is, most of the people around this world. This man is being belong to the family and to the society. He doesn't have much time to go to temple or other to become more spiritual. What he does is, when he crosses the temple, he keeps his hand like this. So at that moment, he thinks about the God. Afterwards, he goes for work, he has certain commitments. And on a Friday is called a spiritual day. On a Friday, when he has his wife, his wife says, "Today is Friday, I want to go to temple." He suddenly meets a wife. So at that moment, he thinks God is that. What I mean to say is, a man who has consciousness about helping another man, will he be called a spiritual man, or a man who is always thinking about God? Will he be called?
You told me you read Bhagavad Gita somewhat, but if you had read Bhagavad Gita more closely, you would see Arjuna, who's a warrior, and his demonstration of perfect consciousness even on a battlefield. Obviously, he wasn't on his knees praying during the battle.
For temporary relationship, but why should not? Add a little traveling into the mixture, a few purchases here and there, gadgets, intoxicants, beverages. In this way, life goes on.
Or does it really go on like that? This you have to ask yourself. And also you have to ask yourself, are you really wanting to get free of all this? Or not? Maybe you think, God, it's no big deal. Everybody lives like this. It's not going to get much better. You try to get some money. You try to get some sense pleasure. Try to see a good movie every once in a while. Check out the TV. See if anything's good on the television. Call somebody up on the telephone who might be able to relate to you. Find a girl or a guy to toy with for a while. When you get tired of that, make believe you've got to settle down with someone for a few years. What more is there for life? As those of you coming from India, you're accustomed to a much more settled way of life. But now you're in the Wild West. And it's alluring you. With the benefits of lifestyle irresponsibility. We think that an irresponsible life is very good, fun. I wonder how many of you have thought about how to make your life successful. Now, sure, people talk about that all the time. Be a successful person, successful in school or business or something. But I'm talking about your whole lifespan. From the Vedic point of view of ancient India, we would say, how to make your birth successful. That gives a different angle on the whole issue of success in your life. How do you make your birth successful? That gives you a different angle than just thinking how you should make your life successful. When you say, how do you make your life successful, if you don't think too deeply, it kind of implies that your life just kind of popped out of the air, and here it is, and what do you do with it? Whereas when you say, how to make your birth successful, that implies that you were born for a particular reason, and you have an obligation to make something of the fact that you were born. It happened. You were born. Not that just your life is here out of nowhere. So how do I make my life successful? Whatever this life thing is. Life thing is. But when you say how to make your birth successful, then it forces you to deal with reality. I was born. What was the point of me taking birth? What was the point of my popping out of my mother's womb? Was it all in vain? Was I born in vain? Did my mother go through 9 months of pregnancy and labor pains and childbirth pains to produce someone who had a useless birth? Useless life? Why were you born? For what purpose? Why did you appear from the womb? Is there any reason? And how to make that successful, the fact that you took birth. Also, when you say, how do I make my birth successful? That statement also implies the end. That birth means death. This is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Jatasya hidro nityo dhruvam janma nityasya. Krishna says, for one who has taken his birth, death is certain. And for one who has death, birth is certain. The two things are hinged together. This is a big difference between Eastern and Western visions of reality. That's how this makes me interested in Eastern things. Yeah. Eastern knowledge means certainly you understand that birth and death are hinged, a revolving door. Whereas the Western view is that birth is one thing, and death is another. That's because, according to Western knowledge, you don't know why you were born. Where did you come from before birth? Nor do you know where you're going after death. But Bhagavad Gita teaches you, birth is hinged with death. You die to take birth, and you take birth to die. Just as everyone here has taken birth, that gives you the obligation to think, how are you going to die? Think about that. We just want to think about life. You see how we bewilder ourselves. We think, I want to make my life successful. I want to be successful in life. But we don't understand that life is framed by birth and death, materialized things. Of course, Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita that for the soul there is no birth or death. Najayate, mriyate, vasatah, jinn. But when we identify with this body, then we are identifying with birth and death. We may think it's very nice to identify with the body, particularly when you're a young teenager in your 20s. The body seems to be the gateway to so much pleasure, until you have to suffer some immense physical pain. In South America, I was talking to one young girl. She was about 24, and she thought previously, yes, my body is young. It's the ticket to so many experiences for so many people. But then she got some kind of sickness, and she had to lay in bed for 3 months straight. And then she started to think, that same body which I thought was going to give me pleasurable sensations is now giving me so much pain that I just have to lay here month after month. Because we don't know the circumstances preceding our birth, and we don't know the circumstances that will come after our death, we just think about life as it is now. How do I be a success? That's a great mistake. It's the fault of bad education. In society as it is now, in the present culture, there's no emphasis on teaching people the skills to get a grip on their whole life and make it a success. People generally think of success in terms of you have some years of financial success, or you're a famous person. But real success in life means to cope with birth and death. Why did you drop from your mother's womb at birth? And why will you drop to the floor, so to speak, at death? To really make your life successful, you've got to take into account those two bookends, birth and death. And those two bookends are actually joined together, because death leads to birth, and birth leads to death. It goes around and around and around. It's known as the cycle of repeated birth and death, or in Sanskrit, samsara. So, an intelligent person thinks, how do I get a grip on my whole life? Not just the economic aspect, but the fact that I took birth, and the fact that I'm going to die. What can I do that embraces all that? And why should I economically maintain my existence? What's the purpose of my existence? You see, people are taught to first economically maintain, and the better thing is to expand economically. Then, in a minor way, start thinking, if you have some free time, who you are and why you're here. But first things first, make your way through this world. And at some point in your life, if you have time to think about things, that's all right. But if you don't, no worries. No one's thinking anyway. And then, young adults and teenagers have so many intoxicants to make them even more bewildered than they naturally are. You hear reports. Newer and newer drugs are coming to bewilder everyone in different ways. Now, an awesome thing, I don't know about drugs, no, it's probably the same deal. Not just alcohol, marijuana, and ecstasy. Now you've got your pure meth crystals. The police are totally on edge about it because young people, they, well, you know, clubbing, they take ecstasy and just makes them kind of dumb and lovey-dovey. And marijuana makes them, you know, just passive. But this, these meth crystals make them very aggressive, paranoid, and people doing crazy things. You already have a bewildered population. And then they do things that magnify the bewilderment. Trying to get some pleasure out of life. What we have here is a place where we teach the skill about how to get a grip on your life and steer it towards the best goal. What is the best goal? Your life is meant for the best goal. That you should allow. You should allow yourself the luxury of striving for the best goal. I wonder how many of you have thought before. I thought like this when I was in my 20s. Why did I struggle trying to get the same thing that everyone else has already struggled for? Any of you ever thought like that? You raise your hand? Any of you ever thought like that? Why did I struggle just to get the same thing that everybody else already has, or had, or tried to get, and they're not satisfied whether they have it or not? That really irked me when I was 21 or 22. I can't go down this same road. Any of you think like that? I can't go down that same road. It's not easy to think like that because you have such pressure from family, friends, society. Such pressure to don't think, just be like everybody else. Go down that same road. Don't try to be different. Don't embarrass us by trying to be different. Help us in our folly. If you do the same thing as we've done, then we'll feel secure. We won't feel like there's something different available. But if you try to do something different, then we'll feel insecure. In this way, you can expect people to be challenged by your presence if you dare try to go down a different road. And put them to become very disturbed. What do you think you're doing? You're trying to be for real, or you're trying to find out what reality is. What's come over you? And then your friends call you up and, oh, there you go again, thinking too much. Come on, just come on over to the party. We're going out clubbing tonight. Come on, get real. Get into the basic realities of life. What are the basic realities of life in the Western world? Intoxication.